You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark Goddard from Lost in Space. Remember me? Don West. I want to say hi to you all and stay tuned to Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 433.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. I'm busy. This is our virtual road to virtual DragonCon continues this week. We have another special DragonCon guest for you. But while we have Cornflake here, I want to talk to Cornflake.
and I want to talk to you, Kevin.
Oh, Cornflake, are you going to be at virtual DragonCon?
Doing my best to make sure I'm there, Kevin. I've got a couple of moving pieces I got to take care of.
Yeah, that's true. I know you're really, really busy right now, which is partly why we're filling these DragonCon shows with special guests, but that's fine.
But between you and me, I am hustling to get it all done so I can free myself up in time to enjoy the festivities because, hey, this is a DragonCon I can get to without even having to go to Atlanta.
Well, yeah, and also you can attend on a very flexible schedule. You can pop in for, you know, a half hour.
But I know me. The minute I check in, I'm not going to want to leave, so I just got to clear that whole time because I don't want to miss anything. I know I can't see everything, but I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big part of DragonCon is missing almost everything.
I guess I'm just going to have to get used to it, but hey, as a newbie, I'm going to try.
Yeah, that's how it goes. So before we get into a little more DragonCon talk, Cornflake, why don't you start us out with National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
You know what goes good with DragonCon, Kevin, I think.
What's that?
A good beverage, wouldn't you say?
Oh, you got that. Beverages are a big part of DragonCon.
So I have heard.
Something of a party scene.
Yeah. And it's been a while since National Whatever Day has been a beverage celebration.
Yep.
And so I thought it was time again. And so I picked it just in time for National Whiskey Sour Day to come along, Kevin.
Oh, wow. You're not fooling around.
No, I am not. National Whiskey Sour Day is on August 25th.
All right. While I've heard of the whiskey sour, I don't know that I've ever actually had one. I'm not quite sure what it is.
What? Wow. Okay. Well, there's a version of it that has ties to the Boston area dating back to the late 1800s. So a little bit of history with your whiskey.
Well, talk me through the whiskey sour. What's in it?
Yeah. As with any drink, there's a couple different ways you can make it. And momentarily here, I'll speak specifically to the Ward 8 version that is specific to the greater Boston area. But obviously, it's going to have some whiskey in it.
Yeah. That's the only part that I figured out thus far.
Usually, it's garnished with a slice of orange. And it's got some lemon juice and some simple syrup.
All right.
And a couple of ounces of whiskey. I mean, it's mostly whiskey, really.
Yeah. All right. It sounds like your basic standard. You know, there are the old fashioned is a whiskey-based drink that sounds very similar to that. So it's in that kind of family then.
Yeah. There are some versions that put egg white in it for some reason.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. I'll skip that. But the Ward 8 version, this is kind of an interesting story.
Ward 8. This is the Boston thing?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a bartender back in the day, late 1800s, Tom Hussion. He was asked to create a drink to celebrate the likely win of a representative favored for the general court from Ward 8. So he took a whiskey sour. He put some of my favorite stuff in it, some grenadine we're talking.
Yep.
You know, I love my grenadine.
Yeah.
Added it to the whiskey sour and boom, drink invented. And the guy who got elected, by the way, the guy that they were all celebrating with this new drink, the Ward 8, was a prohibitionist. So they get this drink to ring him in, and then the bar's closed.
Perfect.
The drink did make a comeback, though, in the 1930s, and to this day, there is a pub in Boston called Ward 8.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been there. I'll have to look that up. Someday, if we're allowed to go places again.
Right. For now, I'm going to enjoy my Ward 8s from home.
We can make our own at home. Or we could be like the colonists back in the old days in Boston and just dump it all in the harbor. In protest.
See, no.
As Schoolhouse Rock would say, we're going to turn this harbor into the biggest cup of whiskey sour in history.
Tempting as that sounds, I think I'll keep my whiskey for me.
It's going to be great. Yeah, at Dragon Con, a big drink at Dragon Con is apple pie.
Yes.
People make gallons of super high-octane apple pie-flavored booze.
Is that like moonshine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people have special recipes, and they age it for like all year getting ready for the convention. It's a thing. People are way into apple pie. But everybody will be supplying their own beverages at home this year, I suppose. But that's fine. You're not going anywhere.
True story.
Do whatever you want. Nobody's going to kick you out of the Marriott this year. You know, part of virtual Dragon Con, we should mention, you know, a big part of Dragon Con every year is the parade.
Yeah.
They do the big, it's Saturday morning every year. It's a Dragon Con parade. And this is a massive parade. It's one of the biggest parades in the Southeast. And it's open to the public. It's not just for people at the convention because it's, you know, it takes place out on the streets of downtown Atlanta. And it's a giant, massive parade of people in costumes, and there's vehicles and floats and stuff and celebrities. I never go. I've been a couple times many years ago. I always just get booked to do a panel,
right.
You know, so that I'm on stage somewhere pontificating about Thundar the Barbarian or some very important subject like that.
And also staying cool, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm in the air conditioning. Everybody else is packed on the streets. Although last year, I think we mentioned this on the show, last year I was chatting with some friends about how, oh, I don't care about the parade. I'm going to be off doing a panel. And then my friends said, oh, yeah, you know what we do? Our hotel room has a balcony that overlooks the parade. So we watch from our balcony. We make mimosas and we make waffles.
Yes, mimosas, waffles, and a parade. This sounded so great.
And then they immediately invited the mayor, Felicity, to join them. And then I'm standing there. Oh, no. I have to go do my stupid panel. I'm going to miss the parade. This is awful. You should have seen the 180 that I did on the parade last year, Cornflake.
Well, when you can enjoy it. And, you know, what have I been telling you all these years about enjoying a parade in style, Kevin? Come on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I bring up the parade because even though Dragon Con is not happening in Atlanta, they're still somehow doing the parade. There's going to be a virtual Dragon Con parade.
Oh, how can you even do that?
They are actually having the parade participants in costume are going to shoot their own video of themselves marching and then submit the video. The DragonCon video tech people are going to edit it all together and come up with some sort of a virtual DragonCon parade.
That is super. I love that.
I'm very curious to see what this is going to look like.
I cannot wait. That sounds awesome.
There's something to check out. You know, the very last time that I saw the Dragon Con parade in person was several years ago. And I was there because a friend of mine that I had met for coffee that morning said that she wanted to go watch the parade. So I thought, all right, it's happening right outside the hotel that we're in right now. So sure, we'll go walk outside and watch the parade, which we did. That friend is my friend Kate, and she is our special guest on the show today. How about that?
Oh, Kate, we're talking from the Strange Animals podcast, right?
Yes, Kate Shaw, host of the Strange Animals podcast every single week, and I've known her forever. We go back, almost 30 years at this point, I think. I know Kate from the small press publishing world back in the 90s. We met like just through the mail. Because we were exchanging our weird little small press magazines back in the day, pre-internet, when people communicated through the mail. I was publishing my little goofy small press magazine called Not Your Nightmare, and Kate was publishing her little small press magazine, which was called Reptiles of the Mind, and we got to corresponding. We met in person for the first time at a small press publishing convention in Chicago, and then I didn't see her in person for, a dozen or so years after that, until Kate started coming to DragonCon, just like me. So now I get to hang out with her every year at DragonCon. Until this year. But we're going to fix that right now, because we got Kate on the Flopcast, and this is long overdue, you know?
I am excited for this.
So what we're going to do is throw to me and Kate just talking DragonCon right now. Ready to go?
I sure am.
Here is our dear friend, and a dear friend to strange animals everywhere. Here's Kate. All right, continuing our Road to DragonCon preview shows featuring special guests who are not me and Cornflake. This is week two, and another special guest has joined us, and, well, she's one of my favorite people. Let me tell you about Kate. I've known Kate for a million years, more or less. We go back to, like, the early 90s. She was in the small press publishing scene with me way back in the day, and these days she is a podcaster and a bird watcher and a bringer of bananas to me at DragonCon when I'm hungry. So she's the best. Everybody, please welcome Kate Shaw.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I can't believe we've never had you on the Flopcast before.
Yeah, I can't believe you remember the whole banana incident, because I'd honestly forgotten.
I think we used that as the title of one of our DragonCon episodes for that year.
Oh, I don't remember, probably because I'd just gotten back from DragonCon, and everything gets really slowed down after that.
I think there's a Flopcast episode, and the title of it is like DragonCon 20, whatever year that was, and then it says, "Do you want a banana?"
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that now.
That was like day one or two, or it was early into that DragonCon weekend, and I was in some crazy crowd somewhere, trapped, and suddenly I got a terxt, and it was a message from you, and it just said, I hadn't even seen you yet. We had not even ran into each other yet that weekend. The first message I received from you that year was, "Do you want a banana?"
They were going bad. I had to get rid of them. I was asking everyone, even people I've never seen before.
Oh, wow. So, like, did you ask like 80,000 other DragonCon attendees and then you finally got a yes from me?
Yeah. No, several people were really happy to see a banana and take it away from me and presumably eat it. But yeah.
Did a lot of people think that you were like using a weird euphemism and then they were disappointed when you actually presented them with an actual banana?
Well, I didn't want to put them in my bag because they were really getting very overripe. So I was carrying them. So it was really obvious that I was actually talking about actual bananas.
You were wearing a Carmen Miranda costume that year, though, as I recall. So yeah. It was on brand for you.
The bananas were on the hat.
Yes, yes. It all worked out. But when people... like, so, do you want anything? Can I give you this? Do you need something? And my default is always, oh, no, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. And then I thought, wait a minute. Yes, I think I do want a banana. I suddenly realized I was starving.
Potassium. That's what you needed.
Yes. So it was perfect. So, man, yeah. So you and I, well, we go back, as I said, to...
way too long.
Early to mid-90s, I think, we started corresponding just through the mail way back then in the
That was before we could even write. We were drawing pictures in crayon because we were so young.
Yeah, it was a crayon-based communication system. Yeah, we were corresponding through the mail and exchanging our little weird small press magazines that we were, photocopying and stapling and mailing out to other strange like-minded weirdos then. And yours was Reptiles of the Mind.
Yeah, that was back before we really had anything to do because it was pre-internet.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So it was either watch TV or just make your own magazine.
Yeah. And it was, if you want somebody to read this thing, it's stuff it in an envelope, write their address on it, stamp it, and mail it out.
Yeah.
That was very much, for the most part, for people like you and me, that was pre-internet.
Oh, yeah. I think a few people had it, but it was really hard to get, and depending on where you lived, and kind of expensive and slow.
Yeah. And, the small press publishing scene does still, there are people that still do it.
And, oh, yeah.
good for them. You know, that's awesome.
I've actually started making one again.
Are you doing one again?
Yeah, it's still got the yellow cover, but yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you were known for the yellow cover on Reptiles of the Mind back in the day.
Yeah, it's because the goldenrod was cheaper than any other color. So I'd buy a ream of it and it would last.
So much fancier than what the rest of us were doing. But we met in person way back then as well.
Yeah, 95 or 96.
95.
Yeah, yeah. We'd known each other several years by then, just through the mail.
Yes,
yeah.
And we went to the Underground Press Conference.
Oh, yeah.
A small press.
In Chicago.
Publishing convention. Yes, DePaul University in Chicago.
Now, I went 2 years. Did you go both years? I can't remember.
No, just the once. I think you went the year before.
Okay. Maybe so. Well, that was fun and very different.
That was fun. We had our little group there.
Oh, yeah.
Amongst the weird people.
Yeah.
And there were people that seemed weird even to us.
Yeah. And I felt so popular all of a sudden for the first time in my life. I knew a lot of people. And that was the first convention I went to. And until I started going to Dragon Con, that was the only convention I'd ever been to.
Oh, man.
It was a little bit different.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, Underground Press Conference, which was just...
It's pretty small.
People who were into small press publishing. That was really small.
Yeah.
That was tiny.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a handful of people from that convention that I'm still in touch with.
Oh, that's great.
To this day. You know, there's you, of course, but Andrew, our friend Andrew. I did not know Andrew at all. I met Andrew completely at that convention.
Oh, he's such a great guy, too.
He's amazing, yeah.
Very funny. And a good artist.
Yes, great cartoonist and super, super guy. Glad that we're in touch online to this day. And I'd like to follow him and Maria, who was also at that same convention. They are in the Northwest these days with their pet rabbit, Potato.
That's the best name for a rabbit ever.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so we've been in touch ever since then. Then we flash forward to, years later, and I start going back to Dragon Con again after many years. And then you start coming to Dragon Con.
Well, I came to Dragon Con because you said, hey, you need to come to Dragon Con. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I did.
Oh, I don't even remember. That was my idea for you to come to Dragon Con?
You did. My first year was 2009. So that was, a year after you'd started going back?
Yeah, yeah.
And you must have really liked it in 2008 because you were very persuasive.
Hey, it worked.
And so I showed up in 2009, and I think the first couple of years I went, I only stayed two nights.
Yeah, yeah. I remember some rather limited appearances from you.
And I didn't go every year because I couldn't get off work.
Sure.
But I didn't realize there was so much going on.
Yeah, you were largely a daytime Dragon Con person.
Yeah, because I didn't know anybody.
Sure, and you were...
I was getting lots of sleep. It was great.
Yeah, you found a nice cheap hotel that was, a little off the beaten path, not in the middle of downtown Atlanta with the rest of us.
And I would leave around 7:30 or 8 when it started getting, a little too dark for me. And I would drive half an hour to my hotel and sleep until 8 in the morning and then come back.
And look at you now.
That's not how I do it now.
Life of the party.
Yeah, well, I stay up a little later now.
So, yeah, you kind of eased into Dragon Con.
Yeah.
But now
I'm like, yeah.
You're all in.
I'm all in. Except this year when I'm all out, but so are we all.
Yeah, yeah, as are we all. Yeah, and you've done a little bit of costuming as well.
Yeah, just the 1 year. It's so much work. I was into steampunk.
That was a good one, though.
Well, that's good because I spent a lot of money and time on it. Yeah, I had a steampunk outfit that I made myself, and I learned how to sew because of that outfit, and I'm still not very good at it, but I certainly know a lot more than I did. But yeah, I haven't done anything since in costuming.
That was a super cool costume, and that was like a whole character.
Yeah, I made my own character. She was an owl catcher because, of course, you need owls. So she was the one who goes out and gets them.
Yeah, the steampunk world, that's a viable occupation.
Oh, yes.
Someone's got to go out and catch the owls. You had a net.
I had a net. I still have a net. In fact, this year I was kind of thinking if Dragon Con did go in person and if I decided to go, I was going to dress as my Animal Crossing character and carry that net again. because, you know, you have to catch bugs in Animal Crossing. But, yeah, that didn't happen, and that's fine, because next year I will be dressing as a character from Animal Crossing, and I don't care what people think. I mean, you know, everybody's into Animal Crossing now. Next year, it'll be something else. I'm still going to be into Animal Crossing.
Do you think people will be kind of nudging you to look at that woman?
I can't believe she
thinks Animal Crossing is still a thing. It's 2021, lady. Get with it.
Yeah, I don't care. I go my own way. No,
that actually would never happen at Dragon Con.
I can't for one second imagine that there wouldn't be a lot of people dressed as Animal Crossing characters next year.
Nothing ever falls out of fashion at Dragon Con.
No.
I mean, there are people that still dress up as Love Boat the Next Generation every year at Dragon Con.
Why don't you, by the way? I was there when you dressed as Cloris Leachman.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. If you've only done a costume once, then that's something we have in common, because
there you go.
I've only done a costume once as well. And yeah, you were there. I was Cloris Leachman.
Okay, next year I'm going to be Flick or somebody from Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
And I expect you to be the guy who yells, "The plane, the plane."
Oh, Tattoo, Hervé Villechaize from Fantasy Island?
Yeah.
That'd be a tough one to pull off.
Well, yeah, because you're a little taller than him.
Should I stick with the cast of Mary Tyler Moore? And just like, I'll be Valerie Harper next year?
That, yes.
I started with Cloris Leachman.
You can just cycle through.
Yeah. And then when I get to Gavin McLeod, that's when I transition to Love Boat.
Ah, okay.
That'll be my bridge from Mary Tyler Moore to Love Boat, and then ultimately to Fantasy Island.
Yeah. You know how they have the big photograph groups of like all the DC characters and all the Marvel characters?
Yeah, everybody in the costumes on a common theme, like 100 people will all gather on a giant staircase for group costume photos.
So are you going to be part of the Mary Tyler Moore group costume?
Yes. Next year, I'm hoping to be part of the annual massive.
They may have to use it's going to have to be an outdoor venue. They just don't have a space big enough inside.
They might need the arena where the Atlanta Hawks play basketball. We could fill that with Mary Tyler Moore Show costumers.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. There are guys in Ted Knight suits, the big blazers and the big wide ties. Yeah, it's a scene.
We're going to feel really weird next year if this happens.
Yeah, and I don't want to give everybody the wrong idea. Don't get too excited. I mean, Dragon Con as a whole, no more than 30% of the people there are in Mary Tyler Moore costumes at any given time.
Maybe 35%.
35%, yeah. So they're around, certainly. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We can take a nothing day at Dragon Con, suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
Oh, no.
I saw the Mary Tyler Moore statue last year in Minneapolis.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's throwing her hat up in the air.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, you mentioned that on an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
End of the credits, throws the hat and it freezes.
Yeah, and it freezes.
That's the statue they have in Minneapolis.
That's about all I remember from that show.
That was the best part of the show.
Well, it did stick in my mind.
But the best part about that is the mayor, Felicity, and I were walking from the train to the hotel for Convergence in Minneapolis last year. And I remembered that they had a statue somewhere in the city. And I thought, oh, I wonder if we'll get to see the Mary Tyler Moore statue. And she was like, I mean, it could be anywhere. Probably not. And then a block later, oh, there it is. It was a Mary Tyler miracle.
A miracle? Mary Tyler miracle.
It was a miracle. Yes. Just like we have at Dragon Con every year, when I slip into my Cloris Leachman Schoolhouse Rock costume.
Today in sentences never spoken before.
We specialize in things on the Flopcast that no one has ever said before. I have a weird memory of Dragon Con with you also. You took me bird watching.
Oh, yeah. And it rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained.
The most rain I've ever seen in the history of all my years at Dragon Con was the one time we planned an off-site outdoor excursion from the convention. You had a place you knew that was good for bird watching.
Oh, yeah. Chattahoochee River. I mean, Kevin, we would have seen so many birds. And I know you don't believe me because we only saw, three.
It was good, though. We had a great time. That was funny.
Yeah, it was fun.
You found an osprey. That was cool. That was a good bird.
Yeah, we saw an osprey and a couple other birds. Yeah, that was a very good bird.
Yes, yes.
That osprey saved Christmas.
It was a Mary Tyler Moore miracle. In osprey form. Yes.
The jeans I was wearing that got so wet, they did not dry until I got home, and they smelled so bad. I mean, I didn't wear them again, obviously. I shouldn't have even brought them, but oh my goodness.
I do kind of regret that we spent the night in a soaking wet osprey nest that night, though. We probably should have just given up and driven back to the convention.
We wanted to see birds.
In retrospect. Yeah, we were trying.
We were committed.
We were committed, you know, and we paid the price. But you're still helping me with bird watching these days, because as we've mentioned on the show a couple of times, the mayor and I installed a bird feeder right in front of Chickentown Studios so that since, you know, we're stuck here and we just stare out the window at birds all day. And a couple of times I've been stumped by the birds that show up. It's a billion sparrows. Mm-hmm. So we've got that down. Like, okay, sparrow, those 600 birds out there, those are sparrows. But yeah, a couple of times, and you're not my first immediate call. Like, I'm not going to pester Kate every time a new bird arrives.
I don't mind.
So I try. I go to the online guides and stuff, and I'm poking around the internet. And a couple of times, though, I've just been stumped, and then I give up, and you're my last resort, and then you figure it out for me.
Well, sometimes. Although I got to say, I was pretty proud of my identification of your bald-headed cardinals.
Yeah, we had one that I was stumped. I was like, Kate, I cannot find a bird in any of the bird guides that looks like this one. And then we figured out, yeah, it was a cardinal without any feathers on its head because it was molting.
It did look really weird.
When you're as clueless about birds as I am, I did not stand a chance of figuring out what that thing was. Maybe like the rest of us in the lockdown era, the cardinals are just letting themselves go.
Yeah, I haven't had a haircut since March, and I'm to the point where when I get out of the shower, I just pick it up and wring it out.
Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, Kate is something of an animal expert. You're one of the people I turn to.
That's being generous.
When I'm baffled by stuff in the animal kingdom. And Kate is a podcaster, and we want to mention the Strange Animals podcast. That's how I hear your voice every week.
Yeah, I put out a weekly podcast about animals, and I enjoy researching the ones that are either extinct or possibly don't exist or possibly are misidentified. But then we also have real animals too. So real, living, and extinct and imaginary. And that pretty much covers everything.
That's about everything.
Yeah.
But I love how you handle the possibly imaginary stuff, because you're approaching this skeptically.
Yeah.
Which is the correct way to approach these things.
But I also don't want to, you know, kill the magic, because you never know. There are some truly weird animals out there. I mean, truly weird. And so I started the podcast, I had no idea about some of these animals.
Oh, I have not heard your newest episode yet. The episode that came out this week, I have not listened to yet.
Ah, yeah.
But I looked at the description and it says ice worm.
Yeah, I didn't know they existed.
There's an ice worm?
Until, like, last week.
I know we're not allowed to leave the house anymore, but I don't think anybody should ever leave their house again, because apparently there's an ice worm out there.
No. Well, they don't live around here or Chickentown, fortunately. They're up in, like, the Pacific Northwest and Alaska.
That's still too close for an ice worm.
But they're real animals. Yeah, I think so, too.
Is this, like, Kevin Bacon Tremors kind of size? How big are we talking about?
Maybe a little smaller than that, like maybe about the size of the very end of your pinky finger, but skinny. These are the coolest things in the world, and I didn't know they existed until I was researching something else and came across a mention of an ice worm. And I thought, is that a real animal, or is that a tall tale from like Paul Bunyan days? And it's a real animal. So the great thing about having a podcast, and I'm the only one who works on the podcast, I get to decide what I talk about. So I can talk about ice worms if I want to for a long time. And you're looking at me like, yeah, and now you're talking about ice worms on my podcast. Yes.
Kate's going to go on every podcast until every show is about ice worms.
Yeah. Have you heard the good word about ice worms? Let me give you a pamphlet.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool animals out there. So we don't have to be stuck on Bigfoot. we can talk about ice worms or, you know, all kinds of interesting things.
Oh, Bigfoot kills me. I mean, I love Bigfoot. Yeah. I love Bigfoot. Bigfoot's so fun.
Bigfoot would be so great if Bigfoot was a real animal or creature of some kind. But
come on, everybody. It kills me that there are still people that really believe in Bigfoot. There really are people that really believe. Yeah. And come on, everybody. And again, we love Bigfoot. We love the idea of Bigfoot. But you got to follow the evidence. Yeah. You got to think skeptically. You got to follow the science, follow the evidence. Yeah. And there are still people that not only believe in Bigfoot, but believe in that film from the early 70s.
Oh, the one that's that real tall guy in an ape suit.
The Patterson-Gimlin. Patterson-Gimlin, is that the name?
Patterson-Gimli? No.
Something like that, yeah.
Gimli was the guy from Lord of the Rings, so that's not it.
Yes, it's a video that was made by dwarves.
That would have been cool.
In Middle Earth.
I want to see that. Lord of the Rings featuring all Bigfoot cast.
Nothing has been more thoroughly debunked than that Bigfoot movie. And they're like, we know the people that rented the gorilla suit.
Yeah. I mean, before they went out and recorded it, they were telling people, we're going to go out and record a Bigfoot. They were actually telling people. So, yeah.
And here we are, almost a half century later, people still believe in it.
Yep.
Man. And again, all that said, I love Bigfoot.
Oh, Bigfoot's great.
$6 million man, Andre the Giant playing alien robot Bigfoot. Yeah. That's the best thing that ever happened.
The Bumble?
Bigfoot and Wild Boy. Remember Bigfoot and Wild Boy from Saturday morning?
I've only seen that at Dragon Con.
Yes. The classics track room at Dragon Con. Yeah. We will show Bigfoot and Wild Boy episodes.
Well, there's not that many episodes, are there? I think I may have seen them all by now.
Yeah, they have.
Just from getting there early and sitting there early in the morning, transfixed, staring at this show.
Yes, that's Sid and Marty Croft, the Croft Super Show in the mid-70s. We had live action Bigfoot and Wild Boy. That was the best.
Maybe not the best special effects, even for the time. I mean, that was after, was it after or before Star Wars?
Oh, it was very close.
Yeah.
It was right around the same time. They could have just used the Chewbacca suit. They were probably filming in adjoining studios.
They might have had a little bit less of a budget, though.
They could have just shared the same Wookiee suit. We would have been none the wiser.
There you go.
But with all this podcasting you've been doing, and again, Strange Animals Podcast, I recommend, and I know a lot of our listeners listen to your show already, but if you're not, check out Strange Animals Podcast, and it's weekly, and it's quick. If you think the Flopcast is a nice short show, Kate will get you in and out of some Strange Animals talk in like 15 minutes or so, maybe on average.
Well, the Ice Worm episode came in at just under 25 minutes because, you know, you got a lot to say about ice worms. You got to say it. Although I talk about army ants and a couple of other things in the same episode.
So that's like an epic length production.
That's as long as one's ever been. They're usually a lot much shorter than that.
Yeah. So everybody listen to Strange Animals Podcast. But since you've gotten into the nasty world of podcasting, you've become involved as a panelist and participant with the digital media track at Dragon Con, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun this year. Of course, we're all going digital this year. I'm going to be on at least one panel, possibly three. I don't know my schedule yet.
Yeah, it's still as we record.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the same boat. I'm doing panels for Dragon Con this year, and I'm still not sure exactly what I'm doing. So we're not even at liberty to go into any details about.
No, even if we knew.
What we're doing or when we're doing it or if we've done it. I don't know what's going on yet. Things are pretty crazy this year. But it was a couple of years ago, I was so excited when you did your first panel.
Oh, yeah.
At Dragon Con for I guess they used to call it the podcasting track.
Yeah, now it's the digital media. Yeah.
They've expanded to include YouTube and Twitch and all that crazy stuff the kids are into.
TikTok.
And I went to see you on a panel, and this was like all my worlds were colliding on the panel that you were on, because it was a panel about how to get into podcasting.
Yeah, something like that.
And on the panel with you, speaking of the skeptics, from the skeptic track were Steve Novella and Jay Novella from The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe.
Yeah, I was a little starstruck. I was sitting right next to the Novellas.
Yeah, you know, I know those guys. Yeah. I go way back with those guys. I've never done a panel with them. And there you are up there with the Novellas. Yeah, hugely popular mm-hmm. and excellent podcast, Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. And also on the panel with you was my boss here at the ESO Network, the director of our network. Mike Faber was up there with you.
Yeah.
So this was like, I know everybody on this panel from completely different parts of my life. What's happening?
That was pretty cool. And I was so nervous, and I walked in, and the first person I saw was you, because you had already snuck in and gotten a front row seat. So that was really nice.
I accidentally jumped the line. I learned later that there was a line that had formed outside.
Well, you looked like you belonged in that room, so you just walked in.
I just walked in and plunked myself down in the front row, and then I was like, oh.
I'm glad you did. It made me feel better.
Yeah. It was so cool seeing you on that panel that day. That was a couple of years ago, and look at you now.
Yeah, on three panels, possibly.
Doing all kinds of stuff with digital. They don't even let me on that track. I've got nothing to do with digital media track, but Kate will be there this year in virtual form. So we will let everybody know as soon as we do what you are up to and what I'm up to and what we're all up to. It's going to be so weird and crazy.
Oh, yeah. No bananas, though. Sorry. You'll have to supply your own.
Is there any way you could still get me a banana this year, Kate? I'm still going to get hungry. You got to take care of me.
Well, I could put one in the mail now, and it might get to you by Dragon Con, but you might not want to eat that banana.
Well, Kate, such a treat to talk to you, because normally this time of year we're hanging out in Atlanta together all weekend.
Yeah.
And that's not happening, but look what's happening now. Here we are on Zoom.
Yeah. With less sweat.
And on the Flopcast. It's comfortable. That's why it really doesn't feel like Dragon Con, because you can walk outside.
Air conditioning.
You're not in a humid, sticky Atlanta. And so awesome to still somehow hang out with you, Kate. You're the best. We love you. Thanks for coming on the Flopcast finally. I hope we can do this again sometime soon.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. I had a great time. I love the Flopcast. You're my very first podcast I ever listened to.
And we didn't scare you out of the podcasting business completely. Look at that.
No, I thought, hey, they could do it. I could certainly do it.
Look, that's right. We clearly have established a very low bar for entry into podcasting. So you're welcome, everybody. thanks so much, Kate.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're back with Cornflake. Hello.
Yeah, cool.
Again, we want to keep these little wraparounds short. So Cornflake, that was our DragonCon interview, and let's just wrap this up and get out of here.
Okay, we're at flopcast.net. Do find us there. We're also at facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Twitter. Our handle is @flopcast. On Instagram, we are the_flopcast. And on Apple Podcasts, won't you go over there, please, and leave us a review or a rating? We would so appreciate that. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
I'm still working on my Sponge Awareness Foundation costume. I'm going to suit up as a member of the Sponge Awareness Foundation and then shoot my video for the virtual Dragon Con parade. So watch for me in that. Meanwhile, everybody, please be safe. Please be good. We're thinking of you. Keep in touch. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
And I'm Tony Heath.
And we've been watching Doctor Who for 5 years.
So that makes us experts.
Probably.
I once heard a guy say that he listened to a 4-hour podcast by an expert, which made him an expert.
So we're experts.
Definitely experts.
And you can be an expert, too.
All you have to do is listen to
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
It's a podcast
that we make
together.
Sometimes with friends.
Listen to it.
Or else.
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
A proud member of the ESO Network.
Cornflake, this is the Secret After Show. Hello.
Yeah, Secret After Show time. Hi.
To keep this DragonCon themed, let's do what we did last week. Let's go to one of my photo albums from DragonCon's past. I'd like you to just call out a year, any year from like 2008 through 2019, and I will just see whatever the first picture in my photo album that catches my eye, we shall discuss.
2018, please.
Going back just 2 years to 2018. Let's see. Here we go. 2018 Dragon Con. Oh, the first thing that caught my eye is a costume group. Let me blow up this picture so I can see it. This was a Schoolhouse Rock costume group that I ran into at Dragon Con.
Good stuff.
And I was so excited to see these people. So I'm looking at a group of four people. We'll post this. Oh, actually, no, we won't post this photo because this is a secret. This is the secret after show.
Okay, right.
It is online, though. If you go to the Flopcast Facebook page and go into, we have Dragon Con photo albums for every year of the Flopcast. So you can see our Dragon Con photos there, including this one. But we have, there's a guy dressed as Schoolhouse Rocky, you know, the superhero that hosts the whole Schoolhouse Rock. He's there. We have a Conjunction Junction. We have I'm Just a Bill. And we have a lady doing, I like this one because it's a little more obscure than those other three. She is from Interjections.
Oh.
She's the girl that screams, wow. So she's wearing a white dress. She has a long white wig. She's holding up her report card that says A+, and she's holding up the giant, like, rainbow-colored wow over her head.
I love that.
Just spectacular. And I remember when I ran into these people at the Hyatt at Dragon Con, and I told them, I said, oh, this is great. We're doing a Schoolhouse Rock panel tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, on the Classics Tracks, American Sci-Fi Classics Track. Please come join us at the panel. And they said, sorry, we can't. We're in the parade.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, so these folks, I don't know if they were doing Schoolhouse Rock in the parade or not. Hopefully they were Schoolhouse Rock in the parade. Not sure. But anyway, these wonderful costumers could not join me at the Schoolhouse Rock panel because they were in the parade. However, I was in costume at the Schoolhouse Rock panel. Remember?
Yes, I do remember that.
This was my one and so far only time in a costume at Dragon Con. Was I put together a bizarre, stupid costume specifically for the Schoolhouse Rock panel. When I got on stage to talk about Schoolhouse Rock, I was dressed as Cloris Leachman from the song and dance number that introduced the Schoolhouse Rock videos when they were released on VHS in the 80s.
This was so great. And
that's pretty obscure.
Yes. While I did not get to see this at Dragon Con, I remember seeing you dressed up like that at After These Messages. I think it must have been a few months later.
That was, might have been that same month, just a couple of weeks later. Yeah, I got to use my Cloris Leachman costume again because, yeah, we did a concert called After These Messages back up here in Massachusetts. We did a whole night of TV theme songs, and we performed our Sponge Awareness Foundation Schoolhouse Rock medley. So, yes, I slipped into my costume. I'm glad I got so much use, way more than I thought I would, because why not look as ridiculous as you can every chance you get?
Words to live by, Kevin.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.